Okay, time now for the Unger Report. And this week we didn't have to go far for a story. Just up the street from us at a hotel in Culver City to get a behind-the-scenes look at what may well be America's most beloved game show.
This is Jeopardy!
This week the show is celebrating its 20th anniversary, and our Brian Unger is here, brimming with journalistic fervor. So, Brian, Jeopardy, the show that tests one's smarts, famous for having its contestants answer in the form of a question. Isn't that correct?
Mike, that is absolutely correct. But Jeopardy is much more than a game show. As producer Rob Sachs and I found out, this, well, is an institution, almost a religious institution. Everything from the questions to the format to even the theme music has a ritualistic, almost spiritual aura, Mike. I can't speak for Rob, but Mike, I came away a changed man.
I can tell.
Mm-hmm. Well, joining any elite institution is never easy, of course, especially as one as secretive and guarded as this one. When you visit this set, you're told where to stand, when to talk, and to whom you can talk. Though Jeopardy is less like Fort Knox than it is a religion.
Religion?
Well, yeah, one that people from all over the country aspire to join, some trying for a lifetime. We met one hopeful, Melissa Richardson of Costa Mesa, California. She's in her early 20s now. Mike, she's been trying to get on Jeopardy since she was 12.
I basically begged and pleaded. I sent in hundreds and hundreds of postcards to even try out for the college one, and so.
Do you think it's very political trying to get in?
Maybe, a lot of the guys, a lot of the people who are more outgoing, I guess, would, I'm not, I'm more a shy type person, so I would never think to, like, intrude on ABC, on Sony, on them, on send things in. And
like, hang out in the parking lot and
exactly.
Say, please let me on this show.
Yeah, or
hang on the door,
or
follow Alex
signs,
home.
Exactly, any of those things. And they do it and they get attention for it, but I would never do it.
Brian, it's imperative there be a fair process so that Jeopardy aspirants have some shot at their dream, and I bet there is one.
Once again, Mike, you are absolutely correct. All over the country at various times, contestant searches are conducted, like the one we went to at a hotel right here in Culver City. There were three different sessions in which about 65 people showed up to take a 50-question quiz. Now, before the quiz, we're told about lots of rules. Chief amongst them was this.
You know better than to cheat on a test. Remember, keep your eyes on your own paper.
Sounds straightforward, like you're preparing for a pop quiz.
Mike, this is not a measure of how smart you are. We all know, though, why we're there. Passing this test is a validation, a badge, which you can proudly wear that says, I am far from being an idiot, and frankly, I'm smarter than you.
How did you do on the test?
I don't want to say just yet, but my biggest problem was with Rob Sachs.
I noticed that you looked a few times on my page. Have you always cheated, Rob?
Just when I didn't know the answer.
Mm-hmm. I looked on your page, too. Yeah.
Probably a bad choice.
Yeah.
And was it a bad choice?
Well, Mike, next week I'll tell you how we did. But I will say this. The entrance exam is composed of a second part, a mock game in which only a select few are chosen to compete.
This is just a smaller version of the real game?
Mm-hmm. And at this stage, contestant coordinators assess players' personalities and how they might perform on the real show. And already, fellow contestants are out for blood.
Let's take smiles for 400.
It's similes, but we'll give it to
oh,
you.
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't have my glasses on. I don't.
Tough room.
Yeah, I spent the weekend sort of nursing my self-esteem. But, you know, another person to make the final cut was our Melissa Richardson. And afterward, Melissa had somehow been changed by the spirit of this game.
You played the mock game.
Yes.
What were your impressions?
It was really tense. My heart was beating like a mile a minute, mm-hmm. and my knees felt weak.
Brian, I have to ask, did you feel anything?
I did, Mike, and I needed to know more. And in the second part of our expose on Jeopardy, we go into the inner sanctum of Jeopardy on the set with Alex Trebek and delve deep into his personal life. And we come away with nuggets like this.
I fix sprinklers. I'm known as Mr. Sprinkler Man.
Mr. Sprinkler Man, we look forward to hearing the question and how you fared next week.
Thank you, Mike.
Day-to-day correspondent Brian Unger.